Now there were some present who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish."
I know we've heard it before this morning already, but it's important for our last stop, and the tube's been working perfectly inside All Souls this morning, which is why it's inevitably been something of a whistle-stop tour. And we've spent the morning throwing questions at God. Well, it can be dangerous just to put God in the dock and think we're entitled to sit in judgment on him. And we need to give him the opportunity to speak and to question us. And here's his question. It's the what question. What are you going to do? See, he's made it clear, as we've already seen, that suffering cannot be assumed to be a judgment on specific sins. You know, you did that, so you suffered this. Or worse still, you're suffering now, so you must have done something to deserve it. But Jesus is not blind to the fact that we are sinners. Nor does he say we'll never face judgment for our sins. See, as here, he speaks of these two very different kinds of suffering. One, a brutal human massacre. The other, if you like, a natural disaster, a tower falling. You notice how he rounded off each one. You see there in verse 3? Unless you repent, you too will all perish. And again in verse 5, unless you repent, you too will all perish. It's as if he's wanting to say, listen, when you've realized what it's not, don't miss suffering's warning. Tragedy is not meant to leave me pitying the sufferers only. It's not meant to leave me helping the sufferers only. Tragedy is meant to leave me taking God's warning and repenting. I find it hard to say it myself because I have led a relatively suffering-free life. But it was C.S. Lewis who wrote about suffering being God's megaphone for a deaf world. And he watched his wife dying of cancer. And actually, the first person who ever told me that line was a man I got to know quite well called Dan Hearn. He was an English rugby international, a crash-tackling centre, who broke his neck on the rugby pitch and has been confined to a wheelchair ever since. Now, when someone in that situation speaks a line like that, you listen. Now, what Jesus says here, it's not a reason to explain suffering. It is a result, a consequence from tragedies, whether they're on a personal or an international scale, a reminder of my mortality, of my vulnerability, that I must meet my Maker and my Judge. And the one who warns here, you notice the one who's speaking is the Jesus on his way to the cross to suffer, to bring me rescue and mercy and grace, to mean that my judge could be my Savior. And he says, unless you too repent, you will all perish. I was on the phone yesterday talking with a good friend whose mother has just died, and she reminded me of the story of a girl she'd met who'd been on a scuba diving holiday in Thailand a few Christmases back. It was the Christmas of the tsunami. She'd caught a cold in the middle of the holiday on Christmas Day, hadn't been able to go out with the others diving on Christmas Day or Boxing. She'd been in her hotel room when the tsunami struck. And the morning after, she picked her way down through all the devastation to the dockside. Everyone who'd gone out the day before had died. And she said, as I looked out on the ocean, it was calm. And I tried to come to terms with the horror of the day before. The freak of having a cold and not going. The devastation and the death that had come. The calmness this morning. And she said to herself, I'm not in control of my life. It's time I started to find out who is. It's what set her on the path and the search that eventually led to her becoming a Christian. She took the warning. Life, you see, is not like the circle line going round and round, how you live in one life determining your suffering in the next. Now, the Christian has discovered grace, not karma. Life is not the circle line. It has an end. It has an ultimate destination. And it's as if Jesus is putting in front of us the question, which is your destination? Repent or perish? Turn round? Or face your judge in your sins. To live without repentance is just to live on borrowed time. Now, we've heard a lot this morning. And we're going to give ourselves an opportunity to do what London life so rarely offers, just a chance to think and to reflect. What are you going to do? It may be as we stop, you'll think there's a station you want to revisit and investigate further. Maybe a book you want to get hold of. Maybe that course that Tim mentioned, there are flyers in front of you, and there's more. Maybe, yes, I want to go to that and hear more and ask my questions. Sign up for that. Maybe in what's still darkness and confusion and pain, you want to turn to the Jesus who holds out his hand and says, I do know, I do understand, I have been there. I'll lead you through. So sit, listen, watch, think, decide, turn. As Lou Fellingham sings, you give rest to the weary.